Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, this evening and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I'd like to spend a few moments this evening and just refresh our minds concerning the benefits of fasting. The benefits of fasting. As we consider the upcoming church anniversary and the national conference, I believe that we as the people of God need to pray and fast and ask for God's blessing upon this wonderful opportunity. The disciples, upon the Lord Jesus delivering a young boy from demonic possession, asked the Lord Jesus, "Why could we not do what you've just done? How is it that you have delivered this young boy from demonism, but yet we could not do such?" And the Lord Jesus responded by saying that this kind only comes by prayer and fasting. The modern versions leave out fasting. And that's no coincidence. Because the devil knows that there is power in the people of God fasting and praying. Praying and fasting. And Jesus said to his own disciples, if you want to see the supernatural take place, like you have just seen before you, you need to be prepared to pray and fast. So let's take a few moments this evening and just review some principles concerning fasting and the benefits of fasting. Isaiah chapter 53, let's read verses 3 to 5. It reads, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labours. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord?" In verses 3 and 4, the Bible teaches us that as the people of God have been challenged concerning their fasting, God addresses the issue of fasting without pure motives, as if they were fasting to get out of God. So in verses 3 and 4, God addresses the issue of fasting without pure motives. And the Lord Jesus, as he taught on the subject of fasting there in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "This is how you are to fast. Don't be like the hypocrites that make it very obvious to all that they are fasting. But Jesus said you are to fast in secret, and your Father that sees you in secret will reward you openly." God is concerned about not only what we do, but how we do it. And when it comes to fasting, here in the book of Isaiah chapter 58, the people of God were complaining concerning the ineffect of their fasting. And God said, you've fasted, but you haven't done so with the correct spirit. And then in verse number 5, the Lord Jesus Well, Isaiah, under divine inspiration, and the Lord Jesus there in Matthew chapter 6 made reference to the principle of fasting in secret as a mark of humility, and we have that principle here in verse number 5, where it reads, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen?" Then he makes reference to a day for a man to afflict his soul, and so on. So here in verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord Jesus, and also Isaiah here within this passage of Scripture, addresses the principle of humility. Humility in fasting. That we are not to fast out of a heart of pride that has a demand upon God, but we are to come before Him in a spirit of humility. So Isaiah, under divine inspiration, deals with this issue of fasting with a spirit of humility. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? See, you can fast and have no effect. And you can fast and warrant the ear of God. And God tells us under divine inspiration here in verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 58 that we are to fast, in essence, with a spirit of humility, to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day for the Lord? So God is teaching us, in essence, that if we are to fast with effect, church family, we are to fast the spirit of humility, the spirit of brokenness, not a spirit of pride and demand, but we are to recognize our position, our helplessness before a holy God. And we are to cry out to God, resting in Him and Him alone to intervene on our behalf. And as a person fasts with such humility, there are a number of benefits that the Bible reveals to us within this passage of Scripture. Fasting is very beneficial. And I'd like to encourage you as a child of God, your health permitting, that you would make it a regular part of your life to fast as the Spirit of God leads you to fast. There are many fasts within the pages of Scripture at different durations of fasts. There are 3-day fasts, 1-day fast, 40-day fast. There are a number of different periods of fasting. There are times that we read of different individuals fasting and we're not told how long they fasted. So the issue is not how long you fast, the issue is that you and I fast in harmony with God's will and God's leadership, and that we fast with a spirit of humility. And if we will do so, there are some wonderful benefits for your life and for my life. Note then verse number 6, please, one benefit from fasting. It reads, to loose the bands of wickedness. To loose the bands of wickedness. One of the great blessings of fasting before God is that via the spiritual discipline of fasting, God, under the power of the Holy Spirit, will break down the stronghold of the flesh. And if you want deliverance from a besetting sin in your life, if there is a sin that haunts you and plagues you time and time again, I'd like to recommend to you from the pages of Scripture that you give time to prayer and fasting. Fasting will give you the power to break the bondage of sin, that besetting sin that hinders you from being all that God would have you to be. To loosen the stronghold of sin, fast will enable that, because you'll have to deny your flesh. You'll have to say no to your appetite. And don't worry, you won't die. And you will kill the will of the flesh. And God will give you victory. And there are some of you here this evening that have besetting sin in your life. whether it be a sin of the tongue, a sin of the mind, a sin of activity, and I challenge you this evening, give time to prayer and fasting, and God will deliver you. God will deliver you to loose the bands of wickedness. Secondly, in verse number 6, the Bible teaches us to undo the heavy burdens, to lighten our burden. The Lord Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. God is able to lighten our burden. And there are times in which we all feel a little bit pressured, more so than other times. I'm sure you'd all agree with that. Fasting will deliver us, will lighten our burdens. Fasting will enable us to handle those pressures in life. Fasting will loosen the stronghold of sin. And also note then verse number 6, it will also enable us to find deliverance. Note then verse number 6, it reads, and let the oppressed go free. To let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke. And I'd like to remind you, church family, that God is able to use prayer and fasting to provide deliverance for those situations in which you and I find ourselves in that seem inescapable. Let me encourage you to pray and fast. And God can provide deliverance. God can lighten our burdens. God can loosen the stronghold of sin. And note then verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to the house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Here in verse number 7, it deals with the issue of giving, helping those in need. If you will fast, God will give you a giving spirit. Some of us are very stingy. That's not the spirit of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave. And fasting will enable you and I to break that stronghold of stinginess and selfishness, and will give us a heart of generosity. If you struggle with being generous, if you struggle with helping those in need, let me commend to you prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And also God is able to use fasting to provide direction. Note then verse number 8, please. Look at verse number 8. Are you seeking direction? The first part of verse number 8, the Bible reads, behold, the doors also and the post thou hast set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. Thou art gone up, thou hast enlarged. Oh, pardon me, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Chapter 58, let's start that again. That didn't quite sound right. Chapter 58, verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Now, also look at verse 10. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. Look at verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. So within verse 8, verse 10, and verse 11, the Bible teaches us that God is able to provide light in the midst of darkness. God is able to provide direction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And if it seems like you're getting no answer, let me encourage you to pray and fast. And also note then verse number 8, the Bible also gives us another benefit of fasting. and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Fasting is good for you physically. It's good for you physically. We are gluttons by nature. Yes, we are. We're gluttons by nature. Most of us eat more than what we need to eat. And that's why we have a lot of the health issues we have, because we're gluttons and we just eat more than what we need, and it does us well to fast every now and again. And the Bible teaches us that our health will spring forth speedily. People that fast will have a healthier constitution, and the ability to be well will be, process will be, God will speed it along. Because fasting is good for you. The medical world tells us that. The Bible is telling us that way before the medical world was teaching us that. Good health for those that fast. And also verse number 8 teaches us that thy righteousness shall go before thee. Fasting promotes righteousness and holiness and purity by killing the effect and breaking down the stronghold of the flesh within our life. You want to be holy? You want to live a life of purity, a righteous life? Let me encourage you to fast. Let me encourage you to fast. And also the Lord is glorified as we fast. The end of verse 8 it reads, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. God is glorified as we fast. Why would he not be glorified? When you spend more time in his presence and we deny the flesh, of course he's going to be glorified. The Lord is glorified as we fast. And then in verses 9 and 10, the principle of God answering our prayers. Note there, the first part of verse 9, it reads, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. If you really want an answer to prayer, let me encourage you to pray and fast. Do you want it enough? Do you want that answer so bad that you're willing to pray and fast? I think most of us are not that serious about warranting the ear of God. But I tell you this evening, church family, if we want the ears of God, let's give our hearts to prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Look at verse number 11. The principle of satisfaction. The Lord shall guide thee continually. And then it reads, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. The principle of satisfaction. The principle of being satisfied. The Lord Jesus said to that woman by the well, if you drink of this well, you will thirst again. For the water that I offer you, if you drink of that, you will never thirst again. The child of God that gives himself to prayer and fasting will be one satisfied, happy child of God. Satisfaction. The principle of restoration there. In verse number 12 it reads, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. The principle of restoration. God is able to rebuild broken walls. That's His specialty. God is able to enable you and I to make up lost ground. God is able to fix that which is broken. God is a God of restoration. And as you and I pray and fast, God is able to do the miraculous and rebuild and restore and repair that which is in need. principle of restoration. And last but not least, a further benefit of fasting is that God promises to grant us access to the fullness of His blessings. Note then verse number 14, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rise upon high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Access to God's full blessings. Do you want the blessing of God upon your life? Jacob said as he wrestled with that angel there in the book of Genesis, "I won't let you go until you bless me." And child of God, if we really want the blessings of God upon our lives, well, let's get serious with God and pray and fast. Pray and fast. The modern versions, as I've said, have left out the word fasting. But may I say to you, the average Bible-believing Christian has left out the practice of fasting out of their life. I'm not sure what's the greater crime. Those modern perversions that have left out the word fasting out of their translation. Or would it be a greater crime that the child of God that knows better and knows the words of the eternal Son of God and has some understanding concerning the power of prayer and the power of fasting, and yet he or she gives little time to fast? What's the greater crime? I think that's the greater crime, in my opinion. The benefits of fasting: to loosen the stronghold of sin, to lighten our burdens, to provide deliverance out of a difficult situation. To grant us a giving spirit, to provide direction, good health, holiness, God's glorified, satisfaction, restoration, answers to prayer, access to God's full blessings. Church family, let's make prayer and fasting a part of our lives. But let's fast with a spirit of humility, a spirit of dependence upon the Lord. And as we prepare for this national conference and our church's 40th anniversary, the devil is not happy. Believe me, read my lips. The devil is not happy. You don't want to know concerning some situations I had to deal with this week. Two main situations, I believe, demonically induced. We need to fast and pray, church family. You can do it. Just a meal, two meals. We are in a spiritual warfare. This national conference is to encourage the nation, our people, people of like faith. The devil's not happy. In fact, he's not happy that we're about to celebrate 40 years. So mark my words. Let's be in prayer. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's bow for prayer. Let's stand.